Okay.
Romans chapter 3.
We finished up chapter 2 somewhat last week, going into chapter 3. And we'll see how far we get down and in this one. So we'll start at verse 1. I'll just read this. We'll have a word of prayer, then we'll get started. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. That was an advantage, one advantage, or the main advantage of the circumcision. And we'll look into that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we are prepared to spend in your word. We pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive it. And we pray that you would get the glory out of our being here today. We just thank you again for your word, for preserving these things, for our instruction, for our guidance. We pray for each member today, Lord, that you would strengthen us according to our needs. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Morning, Luke.
All right. Three, we just started. Chapter 3, verse 1. We are finding out what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And we looked at when Paul was coming through chapter 2, and he says, if the circumcision breaks the law, then what good is their circumcision? What good is it to be a circumcised Jew? Or what good is it to say that you're a Jew and not keep the commandments? So we can see just from what Paul's logic is, the circumcision is not the issue. That's a side issue. That's a limb on the tree. It's not the main subject. For a man to say he was circumcised, that just meant what? If a man said that he was right, that was a requirement of the law, but circumcision came first. Circumcision was before the law.
Almost 400 years.
When Abraham was circumcised, you remember the covenant last week? God said, this is my covenant. This covenant is going to be in your flesh. And, well, we better go back there. Genesis 17. Now, as we're going back there, I want you to keep this in your mind. What is God after, really, when he's dealing with Abraham? What is the issue between God and Abraham anyway? When I say what is the issue,
He wants Abraham dependent on him?
Yes.
He told Abraham that he's going to give him a child, and Ishmael was not to be that child. It was Isaac who was going to be the child, the chosen one.
Right. Right. You see, all this is, these are all side issues. What God is always looking for
is obedience.
Yes. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
That started all the way back in the Garden of Eden.
There you go. It's where God is, he added circumcision to the equation. That's after Abraham helped him out. when God couldn't get the job done with the pregnancy, then Sarah and Abraham and Hagar got together, and they figured they'd help God get the thing done, right? No, that's and we're not going to go back through all those things, but everything that is happening, God is showing you that He wants obedience. And obedience, really, is obedience. I like this. It's obedience of faith. He's basically telling Abraham, just believe me. And it's ironic that Abraham ends up being the what? Father. Father of nations was after he was the father of
faith.
Or yes, faith. He's the father of faith first. Then he becomes the. As a matter of fact, the moment Abraham believed God, God already. He already said. He was the father of many nations. You say what? When Abram believed God, God told him, he says, I will make you. Let's see. Genesis. You got Genesis? Mm-hmm. How about?
I have made it.
And verse, where are we at?
17:5 or 4:5.
Yes, 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Yes. Not with Ishmael. He says, although he made him a great nation. He says, a father of many nations have I made thee. He says, neither shall thy name be called Abram, but Abraham. He says, now.
Wasn't for Ishmael, we wouldn't
have
had
all
problems in the Far East.
That's right. And yet, Abraham is his father too. Mm-hmm. But he's not the promise. He's not the promised seed. So God tells Abraham that he's going to make him a father of many nations, and then he gives him the covenant, right, of circumcision. Every man child that's in his house, that's born in his house, or that works for him, he says that man, when God talks to Abraham, that man must be circumcised. And we talked about that last week, what that meant, what circumcision meant. It was a cutting off of the flesh, the foreskin. It was a cutting off of the flesh, but it was a symbolic of Abraham, or Abram, or any man after him, not trusting in the flesh. Or not trusting in his own works. So they had to be circumcised. If a man came to the Lord, or came to Abraham and did not want to be circumcised, he said that man would be cut off because he had broken the covenant. That's why Abraham is called the father of those who believe. Not for those who work, for those who believe. Now, we don't follow the covenant of circumcision today. Why not?
We're not under the law.
This is not under the law.
Grace versus.
Men still work, don't they? Men still work for approval, don't they?
Our identity has been changed.
Because this is before the law, right?
Yeah.
It's before the nation is formed. So why don't we practice? That's what people say today is we're the new circumcision. We're the Jews for today. We're the true Jews for today.
Because our circumcision is in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Our circumcision is in the spirit, huh? It's of the heart. It's a spirit circumcision. It's a heart circumcision.
Mm-hmm. And we have a spiritual identity, not a fleshly identity.
Well, the thing is, the only reason Abraham was circumcised was because he what? He believed God. That was in 12 and 15. This sign, hint, this seal was to demonstrate that Abraham is agreeing to the covenant. Romans 4 says he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he already had. Romans 4. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he already had. You say, what? I don't get this.
So the righteousness came from his belief.
The righteousness came from his belief. The circumcision was added for those that's coming after him. In other words, he's saying this. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Really, Abraham? I want to duplicate you. So, if anybody says they want to believe me, they want to do what I want, the first thing he has to do is be circumcised. If he wants to end on this covenant, this is step number one. He's got to be circumcised. Because he's telling me that I'm not just saying this, Lord. I really want to do what you want. Okay, get circumcised. No problem. He gets circumcised. If he doesn't, the Lord says, I don't even need to deal with him. You get that? For example, this Romans 8 says this, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. So what is God, what is God to do, like Paul said, what have I had to do with those that are without? God says, I'm dealing with believers. So when he deals with the circumcision, he's talking about a man that is coming to God saying that he wants to do it. So naturally he wouldn't have an issue with that, would he? Would he?
No.
Okay.
Other people? What's the sign?
Yeah, for other people. For example.
Identification.
It's this group of people, it's like a membership card. If you go to the gym, if you don't have that card, you don't get in.
Is that like water baptism?
I was headed that way.
Uh-oh.
Because I was headed that way because these are connected. For the Jew, they're connected. He gets the circumcision, right? That's telling God, I want to do what you want done. God says, okay, I'm okay with that. So as time goes on, and the circumcised Jews, they're still getting circumcised, right?
To this day.
Then he adds the law.
Which they saw.
They're supposedly keeping the law. Then they're, but really, they're what the scriptures call apostate. They're an apostasy. They're rebellious, stiff-necked, uncircumcised, like Melissa said, in heart and ears. What does he mean, uncircumcised in heart and ears? That means, well, he said this, they're dull of hearing.
They what?
Dull of hearing. Not dull of hearing like he can't hear. They're not listening to me. Even though they're circumcised, even though they took the covenant, they agree to it, but they're not listening. They're not listening because there's something wrong with the heart.
Okay. When it says in the Bible, trust in the Lord with thy whole heart, is that grace statement or is that under the law as well?
That starts off setting down the groundwork for the law, but it is, that's what God wants, obedience from the heart. It's something that you can't give. Why? Back to the very beginning. Say it again, ma'am. You lost something in the beginning. That's what this is all about. Is
restoring the image.
Is, yes, I'm trying to say it without saying it every week.
When it says in the Bible, trust in the Lord with your whole heart, is that a part of grace after the law?
That's what God wants, period. Whether it's before the law, under the law, after the law, with no law. That's what he says, if the Gentiles do the things in the law, isn't that a law unto themselves? But the thing is God is showing you, it doesn't matter if it's under the law or not. You can't do it. Do you agree with God? That's all he's trying to get you lost so he can get you saved. And you're saying, I'm not lost because I don't do what he does. And then a Jew comes and says, I'm definitely not lost because I got you. You're on my side. I'm Abraham's seed.
Right, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between the mind and the heart?
Nothing. we make the difference, but that's what he means. When he says that, the heart and the mind, those things are synonymous.
Okay.
Because you... that'll come out as we go along. So the circumcision, that was telling God that they wanted to do what he wants. So they were in a rebellion all through. From the moment Abraham received the covenant of circumcision and began to... When he has his children, when he has the 12 tribes, they're not just 12 Hebrews. We talked about that. They're not 12 Israelites. They don't become 12 Jews. What are they before that?
Gentiles.
What are they in heart? Sinners. Don't be scared. Yes.
Hey, what?
Sinners. He just separated those people. It didn't mean they were different. They were different because God made them different. See, if I take this eraser and paint it white, all I have to do is what? If I want to know what it's really made of, all I have to do is what?
Peel it off the light.
Peel it off. And that's what, when Jesus comes to do, that's what he does. He comes and he just peels back the cover. And he says, see what's inside. That's what I'm looking at. Not what you're doing out here. I'm looking at the inside. So he comes and he tells John this. He says, you give them a baptism of repentance. For what? Repentance means what?
Change of mind.
Gives them a baptism of a change in their mind. Change their mind about what?
About obedience.
Yes. About obedience. This is what we've always been obedient because we've always been obedient because Abraham's our father. We're circumcised. We keep the law. We meet in the synagogue. Last week we teach this. We rest in it. We boast in it. They come out. They didn't come out to get baptized. They came out to see what John was doing. He says, you generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But look, these are scribes, the Pharisees. And John said, no, I see you for what you are. You're a generation of vipers. He says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And Jesus even asked a question. He said, let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it from God or was it from men? Now, if you're honest, you just answer, don't you? If you're honest, you just answer. Let's see, John. Was it John?
Did they calculate it? If we answer this way, it's going to mean this.
Well, we're going to read it and see what they calculated. I thought it was 5, but that's not it. Is it in John? Oh man, everybody looking. I don't know. where he says the baptism of John, was it
from heaven or from man?
I thought it was in John. You know what? It very well could be in Matthew. Let's see.
Luke twenty.
Luke 20? 40. Luke 24?
This is Mark 11:30.
Mark 11:30.
Yes.
All right.
Was it from heaven?
That's it.
And then Luke 24 says the same thing.
Yeah.
44.
So we want to.
Let's look at the one in Luke. I think Luke 20. Okay. Let's start at verse 1 then. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. This is all the religious leaders. And spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye not him? Why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. Yeah. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. But that was, see, this is headed to what Bob was talking about, the heart, uncircumcised and heart and ears. They really didn't want to do what God wanted done, because John comes, and John, the book of John, says that the Jews rejected the counsel of God, being not baptized of John. The counsel of God, that is what he wants you to do. If they wanted to do what God wanted done, baptism would not even have been a question for them. They would have been glad to do it. But because they were self-righteous, even though they were circumcised, they thought they were self-sufficient. Last week we looked at Matthew 13. Everything that they wanted to do, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They liked the high position.
They wanted to be served, not to serve.
That is the exact opposite. He said, he that will be greatest when Christ comes, he that will be greatest among you, let him become servant. Let him serve all. That's part of circumcision. It means cutting off you, your superiority, your pride, your knowledge. It becomes subservient to him. So that was just a sign. See, before God gave Abraham circumcision, Abraham already tried to do it on his own. Didn't he? And he offered it to, we saw it last week. He offered Ishmael to God. He says, listen, he said, Lord, think about it. I'm not saying he said this, but think about it. He said, I put a lot into that. He's 13. Well, we're going to go back and do this? You don't have to go back and do this. You can work with him. And then Abraham said, look what we did. Mm-hmm. Not what God did. Look what we did. He would be a helper. So the circumcision was a sign. That was a mark of the seal for ownership, purpose, security. It was telling people that we belong to God. That's all it was. Not just in word, but in deed. That's why when the man wanted to join them, they would tell the Jews, the Gentile who wanted to be a Jew, I think that's in somewhere in Genesis, he says, you will be as we be. What do you mean? First thing is, you get circumcised. And everywhere you see, now, here's one for you students who've been paying attention. Most times a couple of times I'll say this, when you see the Gentiles being dealt with, a couple of them were centurions.
They were Roman centurions.
Yeah. What's a centurion?
He's a man under authority.
Soldier.
Yeah. No, you still missed it. What's a centurion?
He's a ruler over a large group of men.
He's hot.
was a what?
I said, you're hot.
Close.
It's close. You're close. That's right, but you're more. He's a ruler of... Come on, guys.
Yeah, I was about to say
100
honor.
He's a ruler of 100. You say, so what?
Honor.
Thousand, whatever it is. You say that's God's number. That's the image. That's the image number. So if the man wants to, he has to, no matter how powerful he is, whatever he has to offer, he thinks he has to offer, he has to give it all up to follow me.
I'm going to follow you.
You missed a lot of classes. That's why you missed. You came in after all of this was kind of.
Okay.
Right. But the point is this. His heart, if he wants to do that, he has to get circumcised. That's showing him. That's showing God. So the centurion says this. He says, you don't. I'm also a man under authority. I say to a man, go, and he go.
Right.
I say to a man, do, and he does it. And the centurion said, you don't have to go.
Just say it.
And he made the centurion, he made himself
subordinate.
Yeah. He made himself. That means he just got under Jesus.
Okay.
In whatever his rank, it didn't matter what his rank was. He says, I'm giving this up for you because I recognize you're higher than I am.
Okay.
You have more power than I do. You just say it and I know it's done. The Lord raises a question to them when he's talking to the Jews. He said, there were a lot of lepers in the land, but there was only one healed. That was
taken to the priest.
No, Luke. I should not. Luke. Luke. That was different. That's a different.
You talking about where there was 10 and only one came back?
No, that's different too.
That's a different one.
All right,
where?
This is
you're being vague.
Well, if you knew the scripture, it would be right on the money.
Touche.
Luke chapter 4. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. This is Jesus with the Jews again, who are circumcised Jews, who are fighting him. And they're testing him and his authority at every step of the way. So here he is, and they says, he's just got through teaching in their synagogue. And so they challenge him. Verse 25, he says, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many, that's outside the land.
Outside what?
The land. The Jew outside of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. That's outside the land. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. See, if you don't know about Sidon and Syria, that means nothing. He's letting them know that those are Gentiles. Elijah went to the Gentile widow. Elisha went to Naaman came to him, the Gentile captain. Here's a widow who was son was raised up. Here's Naaman, a leper who was cleansed. Gentiles. He said, but you Jews, the ones that say they love the Lord, want to do what he wants, none of them in the land got healed. None of them. That's why they were so upset. Not because they believed him, because he was defaulting the benefits of the circumcision to the Gentiles.
And you say they, the people.
The leadership.
Leadership, okay.
For example. And it's all throughout his ministry. He's walking along, and here's a Syrophoenician woman.
Is he foreshadowing what he's going to do?
He's foreshadowing, not, well, he's bringing light to, number one, their lack of faith. Say that.
The reason why I was getting ready to say that, because 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 and 22, it talks about the Jews require a sign. So he couldn't do much work in front of the Jews because they did not have faith.
Yes.
And they kept requesting, I don't want to get off the lesson, but they kept requesting judges and kings when they had the real God. From the beginning.
That was from the beginning.
They had God, immediately access to God. And they refused that. They requested kings, give me judges to rule over us, and still wouldn't permit their faith to come forward.
Oh, it came forward. It just was unbelief. He was showing them who they really were.
Right.
From the beginning.
Right. Because they thought their wisdom was more than what he could do for them.
Okay, I like that. They thought their wisdom was more than what God could do for them. Their wisdom was better than God's wisdom.
That's what they thought.
They go straight back to the beginning.
Yes.
So that's what happens. When man sins, then the first thing Adam did was what?
He hid
himself. And when God called him out, God knew that they were what?
Naked.
They were naked. Then they hid themselves. And when God saw they were covered.
You missed one in between. The blame, the pointing the fingers. It wasn't me, it was...
Well, that was after they all experienced all that. So that's what happened. But nothing would have caused all that because God said this. Who told you that?
Mm-hmm. How you have that knowledge?
How you have that knowledge? That means you've been listening to somebody else besides me. And that's what Eve said. They saw. That it was a tree desire to make one wise. Even The serpent said, you will be as gods, knowing
lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life.
That's all side. That's all side issue. It's this. Do you believe me or not?
Right.
Everything else is a side issue. Adam being in the image of God, he says, I'm going with him. No matter what. I'm supposed to. But he ends up falling. And because he fell, everybody after him, Romans 5, doing the same thing. All he needs to do is be exposed just like Adam. All I have to do is show you that you're naked. And uncover, even though you're covered. You say, what do you mean? He told the Jews, you are a whitewashed sepulcher. You know, in down south, where all my father's there, my grandfather's grave's there, my great-grandfather's grave there, all the tanners is buried in this cemetery, and we go every year, clean off the graves, and paint them white. So what? It's older people, they think it's something there other than the inscription. So they don't want the graves to look bad. I guarantee you, they don't care what's on top of them, what's on side of it, because they're dead. But we cover. We have rags. But to us, they look good. He said, what do you mean, rags? Your
righteousness.
This, you know, your righteousness, your self-righteousness, right. So anyway, we're getting sidetracked. But that's what when he talks about the baptism, that's just he's showing them that you don't want to do this. So when he talks about, back to Romans, what advantage did the circumcision have? He said, much every way. Much every way. Three, what advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? It should have been profitable, right? Because, number one, God established a covenant with them. In Romans, he says they had the oracles of God. You know what an oracle is?
That's the source of knowledge, right?
The word's origin.
Huh?
The word about through someone else.
The word of God, whether it's through someone else or it's indirectly, it's from God, period. Like when Moses came down, those were the oracles of God. It boils down to the head God's word. They were the mouthpiece for the Lord. You can say that, right. Now, when they began to multiply, yes, sir. Oh, I thought you had your hand up. When they began to multiply, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob begot the 12 tribes, and God is with those people. Deuteronomy 4, he says, you keep my word, and this is your wisdom in the sight of the nations. They will say, surely this is a wise and understanding people. Who is it like those people that have God so close, so near unto them as they do? They were good people. That's why God chose them.
No.
Why did he choose them?
His purpose.
He said, not for your sakes I'm doing this. I'm doing it for the Father's sakes and my holy name's sake. You said last week, because I said I was going to do something with them. This has nothing to do with you. That you're such a great nation. I was thinking of what Melissa said.
The only reason that Jesus is doing what he's doing is because God the Father called him to do it? Is that what you just said?
Huh? No, I was talking about a God, Abraham. We were talking about God in the nation.
Okay.
Where God picked that nation not because they were such a great nation. God is doing this because he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And really, the promise was just God fulfilling his purpose with those people. And Abraham was chosen just by God's goodness. He was no different. When God found him,
he was an idolater.
He was an idolater. That shows you that he's no different than anybody. Romans 9 says they had the oracles of God, they had the covenants, they had the promises, they had the service of God. God allowed those people, like Melissa said, to come near unto him. God, how many came near unto him? Let's see. Okay. Out of the Gentiles, right? These Gentiles. God pulls out one man. He says, I called Abram alone. Then he makes Abram Isaac, Jacob. Then they get the 12 tribes. Then he picks the 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He gets 12 tribes. He said, you guys are different. What made them different?
Because he said so.
Because he said so. That's it. He said, you guys are different. Out of those 12 tribes, he takes one and he said, you're different. What made him different? Levi. He says, you're going to be the one that wait in the tabernacle. Nobody else comes in there but you. Out of that tribe, they pick 24 people. And out of those 24, he says, two of you guys go minister. But out of the two of you guys, one of you guys comes to the Holy of Holies. He's different. He's special. What made him special? So, follow me. Who's in the tabernacle? Who's in the Holy of Holies?
The glory of the Lord. So the priests.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the priests. Who's in there? A Gentile's in there. He's just a Gentile that God says, you know what? You're a Hebrew. You're a Hebrew because
he just has a title.
You're a Hebrew because you deserve it. No, he said, you're a Hebrew because I said you're a Hebrew. You're an Israelite. You're an Israelite because you deserve it. You're an Israelite because I said you're an Israelite. You're a Jew. You're a Jew because you deserve it. No, you're a Jew because I said you're a Jew. You can minister. You're a high priest. You're the high priest because you deserve it. You're the high priest because I said you're the high priest. And he tells them, listen, put this on. Don't come in here without putting this on. Don't come in here without being washed and anointed. Now, this is all foreshadowing something. He says, you're working with me. Only one man could do this. Only one tribe could do this. Only one nation could do this. Only one man. See, he's trying to recover this. But guess who's in there?
Sinner.
That's why you have another high priest that's got to come. In Hebrews, the high priest of our or their profession. But in the meantime, they think they have an advantage with all this. And he's saying, you know what? This true. It is true. What made it an advantage is he chose you. And what's the big advantage is one thing is this. That man is always connected with his word and his will. He said, that's the only thing that makes you different. Is if you wanted to do it, it may have worked out right. But you never wanted to do it because you were uncircumcised in heart and ears. And they had to be. Why?
Because they were men.
Because they were. Yes, yes. Okay, 3:4. 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That is, if God put all his eggs in the Jewish basket, 3:3. He says, does that make the faith of God? He says, I want to make you a great nation. And they could say, well, God, he didn't get it done. God ran out of power. That doesn't even sound. God, when Moses was coming through, he said, Lord, don't kill the people. Because the people will look out and the enemies will say,
he couldn't do it.
He couldn't bring them in, so he killed them all in the wilderness. And not like God didn't know that's what they were thinking. So naturally, what's it? Exodus 22. Yeah. I knew that wasn't right. Exodus 33. Let's see. That's not the passage I was wanting to, but look at verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. This is Moses, he's telling God, you told me to bring these people out. You said you know me by name, which is significant. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, he says, what? Show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And then he goes on to talk about what he did. Let me ask you a question. Moses is asking the Lord to... The Lord has told him that I know you by name, and you found grace in my sight. But Moses is at the point where God is so angry that he's going to destroy the people that's called by his name. And Moses, like God didn't know, he says, well, if you picked the people, you said they were your people, how are we going to know if you kill everybody? How are we going to know that we found grace? How are we going to know if you're still with us? And Moses is like, show me a sign. Show me a sign that you're still with us. He says, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. What is he asking? What is he asking God when he says, show me thy glory? He's not just saying, let me see you. Just before, he was saying that Moses talked with the Lord face to face. When he says, show me thy glory, in the same passage, he says, show me thy way. What is he asking him?
What do you want me to do next?
What do you want me to do next? Not what do you want me to do next. What are we going to do next?
Okay.
When he said, look, what are God and me?
Well, what is your will?
That's it. What's your will? See, Moses is going through here, and it seems like God's changing his mind. He said, you going out, you and the people, take them to this land, flow of milk and honey, you're going to be a great nation here. All of a sudden, halfway, he says, step aside. I'm going to kill them all. Wait a minute. He said, I'll start all over with you. And he could, couldn't he? But Moses, being a type, he says, oh, don't kill him. That's going to make you look bad. Not good. And God, stooping down to man's viewpoint, he said, yeah, you're right. You're right, listen. He says, well, go on in. And Moses says, I need a sign that you're with me. And he says, show me. And he says, yeah, you can't see me and live. How are we going to know? And he goes with him. He starts to go with him in the cloud and in the pillar. But the point is, the whole point was this, is it wasn't anything that Moses did. It ain't like he's a great negotiator. It's just God in his grace. That's why he said, I'll be gracious to whom I will be. It's just that God is doing something with them. He was doing something with them according to his own purpose. They had a privilege to be along for the ride. They weren't any special. They proved that.
Okay, Frank said, and you put the picture of the cloud. That's the cloud that led them the way?
Right.
What was that little thing?
That was fire.
Oh, fire by light.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now let me, this is all old, you know, it's Old Testament. It might be a little dry and boring to you, but now this is just it's no different than us today, where we have an opportunity as believers. Look, you're no hot shot. Is when you find out what God is doing, then you can't boast in that position and say, look what I know. Look who I am. You have a privilege to work with God, period. To be able to open this scripture up and can I talk about you for a minute? You, Melissa. She don't remember this. One day, this goes back a few classes. Anyway, she texted me one day and she said, I'm learning grace. That's it. She said, I'm learning grace. So whenever I knew that she had read something or was meditating on something and it was coming clear. And that's all you could thank God. You learned in him. That what you learn draws you closer to him and his glory, his way, his will. That's what's going to separate you from everybody else. Not because you deserve it. It's you have, I like what she said, you have accessed this. You have accessed it. Where it used to be just a nation, just a tribe, and the guy out of that tribe. But now this door is open for anybody. When I say this door is open, the reason why a man doesn't know God,
doesn't want to.
And he said, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after me. You think he's joking? You can bet if you're doing some looking, the word has affected you. Okay.
That as you were teaching, made me think of. I was studying this yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about if our gospel be hid. But in verse 6, he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shown to our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what came to my mind as you were.
That's it.
Yeah.
We see through Christ, God has shed light on his purpose and plan that nobody has had. That's what makes this day of grace so significant, is we have the whole counsel of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why if a man wants to participate, there's no reason why he shouldn't unless he doesn't want to. And God won't make you an active participant. He won't make you that.
I see you trying to wrap up right here. What was it that Moses saw in this Exodus verse?
He said, I'm going to show you my back parts. That's
right.
And
what was
it
in like 34:6? The Lord passed before him, so what he revealed was the knowledge about him is that he is merciful and gracious and long-suffering. It's those attributes that he saw. when he passed before him, which is his glory, the same glory that we have today, that he's on full display through his glory.
Okay. Now,
what's interesting is it's in Exodus 33, which was the age of Christ when he died on the cross.
Okay.
33 is also the number of is it the vertebra?
I like it what he said, though, but one thing he did say is this. Thou canst, he said, show me thy glory, show me thy way. And he said, thou canst not see my face and live. It's, now, when he goes through, I think he said that he told Moses to hide. He hid him in a rock. See, this is a little complicated for me because on the one hand is this. God was said, no man can see my face and live. And then another passage says, no man has seen God at any time. And if he's the invisible God, if he's dwelling in the light that no man can approach unto unless he be consumed, God always conceals the fullness of his glory for the sake of the person. If he were to show, if Moses would have seen his glory, he would have been burnt to a crisp. So when he goes by, I think he just sees, like Luke said, his goodness is the only thing I can think of is when the 120 were in the upper room and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit and they heard the wind. They heard a rushing mighty wind, and the Spirit came down. The only way Moses knew that the Lord had passed by him was from that glory going by. And he knew that God was with us now. Now, what he saw, he saw his back parts. That's what God, he said, you can see my back parts, but I can't show you my face. So I think that was just...
No, I couldn't hear. I think it's more that he heard.
That's... What is it?
34, verse 5 and 6.
Exodus?
Yeah, the next chapter.
Okay, he says, I will make all my goodness, this 19, I'm sorry, 33:19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
I cannot hear what was said earlier. Was it mentioned about Paul when he had the apparition? Did Paul not say he saw the Lord at that time?
He saw visions. He saw the Lord, Jesus Christ. He saw Christ in the visions and revelations and even personal appearances.
So, but there's a difference between...
Yeah, that's different from this.
Okay, but Paul actually saw Jesus?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what we're saying there, that's God the Father versus Jesus.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it says that Christ is the image of the invisible.
No. Yeah,
how do we get around that? If God the Father and Jesus are one and the same.
They're not.
Well, hold on a second. We're getting too many side things going here. Luke, what you said? 35 what?
38, chapter 34, verse 5. It's pretty much the same thing. But his glory is... You know, in Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And his glory is his graciousness and mercy and all these things.
Well,
take it to the spiritual realm.
What that glory, God glory is knowledge, his knowledge.
Yes, that's what I think we're losing that, yeah.
In the natural realm, let's take it out of there. Because what he has in us today is what he did to Moses then. He showed him the spiritualness, the wisdom of him. And that's what he's doing to us today by placing Jesus within us, his wisdom. And if you would note that in Exodus, that he turned around and wrote the books. I see now, and he began to write what God showed him at that instant. Do y'all not see that? Moses wrote what God showed him.
Well, go ahead.
I think we're getting a little off here because what they're talking about is, it seems to be a separate event. If it's in 34, because 34 is after he made the tablets of stone.
Yes. This is afterwards.
After 33.
Yeah.
So when it says that I will let you see my hiding part, what is that?
No. This is what I'll say this and then we can go check some more out. If you look at this, 33, right? You're at 33, right? And I do agree with the information part is important. That's all this when Moses is talking about the glory of the Lord, this is information. Verse after they sin, God and Moses have a meeting. Verse 10, 33:9-10. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So he wants to know, like he said, what God is doing. I need to know what you're doing. I need to know that we're on the same page. And how God reveals that to him is through whatever he saw, I don't know, Johnny, is his manifestation. Some kind gave him some rest in that. Gave him some confidence that he was going with him. Now, if he would have went, like I said, if he would have saw all his glory full on, then he would have been just a spot left on the rock. But he goes through and he covers his eyes and he sees the back parts of them. Now, all this ties into to something we're not getting into is the fact that God is using him as a lawgiver. He's revealing the law to him. Moses, even when he goes up there, he comes out with a veil over his face that the people can't see the glory of his revelation go away. Somebody said something about, I think that was where we see the ministry of condemnation contrasted with the ministry of the Spirit, where now we have open face and we see the glory of the Lord,
in the face of Jesus
Christ. That just means this. You have much more knowledge now than Moses did. Now, so...
By the way, let me straighten out what I said.
Okay.
I was saying they seemed to be committed to defense, and they were, but the scene was subsequent to 33, because in 33 he was telling him what he was going to do, and it actually happened in 34.
Yeah, he passed by, the passing by. So, that's a great question. I don't have the answer to all that, but we could...
Well, could it have been Christ? Because he had the same type of glory effect when Paul saw him.
Yeah, you could... I mean, that's one... You can look at it that way, but... You know, there.
That's okay.
I'm gonna read one verse and then we're gonna stop.
Okay.
24.
You gonna answer my question though?
Yeah.
Okay.
24. Watch this. Moses gives the law.
24.
I'm sorry. Exodus 24. They signed the law. 24:1, where the Lord says, and he said unto Moses, 24:1, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they, read it, saw God and did what?
Eat and drink.
Now, the only reason I went there, because you got kind of the same kind of thing going on, is God giving some information about what they should do, what he wants them to do, and it's associated with his glory and them seeing him.
Is that like seeing the wisdom of whatever?
So,
it doesn't mean necessarily a sight. It's they see it. It's an enlightenment.
Witness.
It's a knowledge.
All that. You want to? It's just something to contemplate on.
Marinate on.
Because the glory is associated with knowing his way, knowing his will, and there's no way they can have it all back there, because it wasn't all back there for them to have. So. We'll pick up some more of this later, because let me close out with prayer, then we can, because if whoever want to leave, I want them to be able to leave. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. That was a good question.